Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand. Check, check.
Check, check. Oh, woof, woof.
Oh my God, she always wants to do like the weirdest things when I bring her on the pod.
Can you give a backgrounder on why you are suddenly a mother? Like, are you like indefinitely babysitting? Like, what's going on? Because Samantha is with child. And has been for like months.
Dear God. No, I literally am a mother right now. And when I mean a mother, I mean a dog mother. But it is like having a child for sure. This is my best friend, Becca. This is her doggie. And she's my niece. So Disco comes under care. No biting. Comes under my care when she travels. And she's living at large in Greece and Turkey right now.
I was going to say, she must be traveling a lot. I feel like you've been... at work.
International trip. So she may not get to go back because when I
it's
going to
be a
you,
hard transition.
Oh, well, very hard. Oh, okay. Well, now she's mad at me anyways, but it's because I made her go up in the air like this after we just did like a 4 mile walk. She's a little mad. Anyways, but when I tell you, we were just the talk of the West Village tonight. I mean, were we not the most popular duo to ever be seen?
I heard that.
Yeah. But generally speaking, we are the talk of the town. And how we will ever come down, specifically me, from that level of just attention, adoration.
Wow. Yeah, that's why I need a dog. Me and my friend were talking about that this weekend. We were like, imagine, like, we're just, like, on our walks, and it's so nice out. We're like, imagine if we had a dog. Like, we would just be chatting it up with everyone. It's such a good conversation starter. Like,
the friendly vibes, but it is a lot of work. She's stronger than me. She's faster than me.
She's ready to get home.
Oh my God. And then she wanted to stop at Zara, which who can blame her?
That's our girl.
It's kind of a crazy week in terms of unpacking political things because there really is not much in this current moment because we literally just came off of Labor Day weekend. It's almost.
Like, thank you for the holiday break of madness, because I think it's about to get wild. Just with we got debate, we got GOTV month, which is just always insane. You know, just the weeks. You guys, we're in crunch time. We are here. It's time. It's fall, and it's just again madness is on its way. So I appreciate the silence, the peace, and especially during LDW, which we love.
You know, the thing that did surprise me, and while he is no longer a candidate but still on ballots, I was waiting for like another RFK bomb to drop. You know,
in order to not be on ballots now, because they probably know that it's gonna like fuck up Trump if you're gonna endorse him, then you're also gonna be on the ballot with him. Like, 1 + 1 = fish, you know? It's just like...
I love that equation.
Silly boys.
If you were to pick a fish in that comparison, what type of fish would it be?
Simply not expecting that question. Jesus Christ. I have no idea. Because justice to fish. I don't want to, you know, slander any fish out there.
Not even a Branzina?
I don't know what that is.
So West Coast.
Sorry, we only have good fish out here, I guess.
No, it's like an Italian delicacy. So now you're just insulting the Italians.
God forbid you insult the Italians.
Yeah, you don't want that. I can tell you do not want that smoke. But
anyhow,
maybe
we do have some politics today.
Oh. We do?
Well, our interview.
Oh, I was like, wait, did something happen? Did I miss this?
No, yeah, nothing that's happened. Fair. Which, again, we're grateful for. We want to reiterate that.
For sure. Disco pulls apart her entire bed when she wants attention.
Silly girl.
She got like, I can't even tell you how much attention she got today. Like, there's like, she makes me look like I don't like attention. Like, I'm not. It's crazy.
I also met her boyfriend this weekend. I don't know if you saw my story, but Chip. Chip is a little over 1 year old.
Is it to younger men?
He still has his nuts, and he is a blonde little firecracker. And goodness me, I think he's ready for love. And, you know, the whole time I was just thinking about Disco and how they would really be a match made in heaven.
Okay, we're entering our dog Yenta service era of all time. This is happening. We are getting the Disconators and Chip together. It's going to be so cute.
Okay. Wow.
Oh my God, imagine like the dog wedding.
Possibilities are endless.
Oh my God, you're so cute.
All right.
She says yes. She says yes.
Yes, to the dress. She does.
And to the chip.
Yes, she does.
Wait, the chip. Oh my God. I can't even get over that. Okay, sorry. Politics. Wait, I actually have like something funny to say to that.
What?
So, aka just le segue the perfezione, that we, speaking of Chip, is we talked about chips a lot on this episode because we also talked about vending machines and all these different things, but especially just this particular state rep's love of chips. So what we need you guys to do is in the YouTube version of this episode in
honestly,
the comments.
Can we not point people to the YouTube today?
Oh, I'm so sorry. We're like doing really well on YouTube right now. So like, I'm just saying, trying to.
Are we? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just like not looking my best, guys. I'm wearing my robe. It's after dinner and I'm ready to hit the sheets, but it's okay. I'm just, you know, I'm such a natural beauty. Go watch on YouTube and sound off in the comments on what your favorite snacks, your favorite chips. Is that what you were going to?
Yeah. I was going to say best chip. Do you have favorite chip?
Yes. Doritos, the sweet chili or sweet chili something. The purple bag.
I've never had those.
Oh my God. You'll pass out. They're so fucking good. They're so good. I could eat a whole like family size bag.
Okay. Absolutely try these. I don't even think I've ever seen them.
Yeah. They're kind of rare, but I feel like they're popping up more. They've become a little bit more like, they were kind of like a rare find, and then I think they got really popular, and like I feel like I've seen them much more now.
Now you're influencing,
if you know, you know.
As the influencers that, you know, out here doing the damn thing, now everyone's going to be eating them, and they're going to be everywhere. So yeah. Everyone's welcome. Hashtag Maddie made it happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talk about some other amazing things on this episode. It's actually a great interview where we talk all about just civic processes and ballot measures and things that can make real change, which we love and gives us hope going into this election and beyond as we look for solutions to all these issues we care about. So, Samantha, do you want to introduce our guest?
I do. So our guest today is Oklahoma State Rep Mickey Dollins. And Maddie just explained, we get into ballot measures, initiatives, all the things. And he actually has a book that just came out, which we will link in the description. I don't know why I'm thinking I'm like faux Italian tonight, but it's just really, it's coming to the brain. So here we are. Nonetheless, Matt is going to kill me through this screen. I just see it. I will say if someone murders me, but ahead of you, it's the hibachi man for my friend's bachelorette. So like,
you at least stop that story. I don't even want to know.
So just don't wear a steak costume and then
you know
have a hibachi
crazy?
Guy making a steak.
You know what's crazy?
What?
That you haven't said without further ado yet. That's really just crazy. It's crazy we're still here.
Okay, without further ado, here is State Rep Dollins. Hello to State Rep Dollins here. We are so excited to have you.
Hey, this is great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, we got to get into it because you're actually our first Oklahoma rep to be on the show. So first of all, let's get the confetti and the balloons out, because that's a, you know, a BFD over, you know, here at Girl in the Gov. But we're curious, you know, what the, you know, political lay of the land looks like. Like, can you sort of give us the abstract as to what Oklahoma looks like politically right now?
Well, being the only Democrat in Oklahoma, I'm not surprised I'm your first Democrat Oklahoman guest on the show. But no, that's a great question. We, as Democrats, are in a super minority here in Oklahoma. For example, in the House of Representatives, there's 101 legislators. There's only 20 Democrats. And over in the state Senate, there's 48 senators and only 8 Democrats. And of course, the governor is a Republican. And so anytime that we're trying to pass our own policy, things that are important to our districts, it's a really uphill battle. You've got to find ways to build those bridges, make those connections in order to even get a committee hearing for some of your bills. But the real power that we have in the minority party as House Democrats is that microphone on each of our desks. We use that to amplify the voices of our constituents, and they can't shut that down. They can shut our bills down, but they can't shut down our ability to press that button, debate against bad legislation, which I'm sure we'll get into. But that's really where the power that we have is being that conscience of the legislature and ensuring that the power is kept in the checks and balance, and that these controlling politicians aren't just allowed to pass their bills without at least having some scrutiny and for having something mm-hmm. that the media can report on.
Totally. Yeah. And what are those bridges in terms of like how you connect with voters? Like, what are the issues that are really top of mind for people in Oklahoma? And I'm curious, like, how each party represents those.
Well, the great thing about being a legislator at the state level is you hear from constituents from everything from the pothole down the street to the war in Gaza. And sometimes it will be something at the state level, like education, infrastructure, that type of thing. But in any case, if a constituent comes to my office and they need help with, let's say, a pothole, then we'll connect them to their local elected official. If it's something more on the federal level, then we'll connect with our federal delegation. And in most part, our federal delegation, like Senator Lankford, he's who I prefer to work with over Senator Mullins, but their staff is really responsive and can help constituents. You'd be surprised how many people want a passport expedited, that type of thing, little things like that. But sometimes it's bigger things. Specifically, like what is happening in my district in South Oklahoma City that's top of mind is our homelessness issue. We have people who aren't even in the traditional sense homeless, but they're couch surfing, going from home to home or staying in extended stay motels, having to take Ubers to and from work every morning. They're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. But in Oklahoma, our minimum wage is still $7.25. So between the Uber rides to and from work and staying in extended stay motels, which add up about $250 a week, you can see where they're never able to break that cycle of poverty. And for me to be able to go back to the state capitol and get on the microphone and explain this to my colleagues across the aisle, it sometimes resonates. It sometimes connects afterwards. They'll be like, yeah, I see where someone working full time at $7.25, there's no way they could even afford a down payment on a modest apartment. So, right. And that's another thing is our apartments are, and most of our rental homes are owned by out-of-state corporations, landlords that are from corporate landlords like BlackRock. And so unfortunately, because of Oklahoma's weak tenant protection laws, you have a lot of predatory nature in where people from out of state own apartment complexes, and they may be affordable, but they're not habitable. And people are living in there with small children, and there's rodents and there's pests, and an air conditioner can break on a day like today when it's 104 degrees, and their requests go unmet. And so by being able to connect with constituents, go out to their residence and actually, like, you know, film it, talk about it, get the attention of local news media, and then they do a story about it, then they connect with the landlord in California. Typically, things get fixed quicker that way. But just one example of policy, going back to your original question. So someone was fed up with their landlord ignoring their basic request for improvement, like fixing an air conditioner. And so I wrote a law and passed it that says that if a landlord does not address an improvement like broken water heater, AC heater, you name it, after 14 days, and that tenant can use up to 1 month's rent to make the improvement themselves and not have to pay it on next month's rent. And so that has been, the news has been talking about that a lot because there's so many people here suffering through this heat. And now people have, they have the money saved up anyway for their next month's rent, but now they have the power of knowing that knowledge that they can invest in their own improvement and not have to pay that on the next month's rent has helped a lot of people in Oklahoma. Unfortunately, it shouldn't have to come to that. And I've been, you know, explaining these stories to my colleagues in the supermajority to hopefully enhance and strengthen our tenant protection laws so these predatory landlords stop taking advantage of Oklahomans.
Totally. There's this old phrase of like, it's expensive to be poor. And I feel like what you're explaining is exactly the example of that, of literally it's like you have to use money that you've earned to get to work in the first place via Uber. Like all these things add up, and like just to work, you have to spend money is the irony of it all, right? Like,
That's so right. It is expensive to be poor. And then you add on all the fees on top of that. For people in my district, we have the most payday lending stores of any district in the state. And talk about taking advantage of vulnerable people. You have 365% interest rates on what's supposed to be a two-week loan. If that turns into a one-month loan, they're paying about as much as they took out. And that compounds over time. And then and inevitably, they end up in an impossible situation that leads to financial ruin.
Right. It's like trying to climb out of those things. And I think sort of, you know, returning to also like the law that you did pass and, you know, thinking about solutions. I know one of those like bridges and gaps that sometimes happens is something passes and then people don't know about it. So then, you know, obviously landlords or whoever it is and whatever type of scope we're talking about, like still continues to sort of take advantage of it because they oftentimes are like, oh, well, they don't know. So we're just going to like keep pulling the wool over their eyes. So I'm curious for that bill and then others too, like what has been successful communication wise of like letting people know, like, this is out there. This is something you can use to, you know, better your situation or also, you know, just help improve, you know, the day to day.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a constituent who had a basic improvement that wasn't being addressed. And I told her about that law. And she said, well, I'm glad to hear about it, but how would I know about that? And I said, well, unless you follow my social media or you catch the occasional news story about it, I guess you wouldn't. And she goes, well, it would make sense to maybe put that on the front page of the landlord-tenant lease agreement. And I said, you're exactly right. We're going to run that bill together. And just like that, an idea for legislation coming up in February, which Oklahoma's legislative session runs from February to May. So we're in like the bill drafting phase right now. I actually got that bill drafted up and ready to go, but that will be on the front page of the landlord-tenant lease agreement. And I like that idea too, because not only does it empower the tenant with the knowledge of their rights, it also puts the landlord on notice that the tenant is full aware of the rights. So if you want to do it, if there's a request, you got to meet it or the tenant's going to pay for it and that landlord's going to miss out on rent and could possibly, you know, be overcharged for something that they could have done for much cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I want to pivot to ballot initiatives because I feel like we have the guy to talk to about all of this. You've authored a book about it.
Yeah, put it
in the frame. There it is. Well, I first want to like, A, can you kind of just like talk about the book a little bit? What's the premise? But also just, can you dive a little bit into direct democracy in Oklahoma and if there's certain ballot initiatives that are kind of on your radar this year?
Yeah, first I'll just give a brief overview of what direct democracy is. There's three tools in there. There's the veto referendum, the ballot initiative, and the election recall. Now, in Oklahoma specifically, we have the ballot initiative process that can begin with the citizens of the state. You have the election recall, which we don't have that. Oh, California does. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger won his election. He only had to campaign for 2 months because the state of California recalled their old governor. And then he jumped in the race. We have election recalls in Oklahoma at the municipal level, but unfortunately not at the state level. And then we have veto referendums. That's if a bill is passed and the people of Oklahoma don't like it, they have up to 90 days to collect thousands of signatures in order to get that bill that was passed by the governor onto a ballot for the people of Oklahoma to decide. And those are the three tools of direct democracy. And many states have a variation of some in my book. In the appendix, I detail it specifically by state. But for the ballot initiative process, that's probably the one that people have been hearing about the most. It's incredibly powerful for just ordinary citizens to be able to use to shape and influence public policy, especially when they're being ignored by their elected leaders. 26 states have that ballot initiative process. And in Oklahoma, the process is by far the most difficult. In Oklahoma, people have up to only 90 days to collect 94,000 signatures for statutory change and about 140,000 valid voter signatures for a constitutional change. In other states like Ohio, which has been in the news lately, it's evergreen. So they can start a ballot initiative, start gathering signatures, and they can take as long as they want to meet that minimum requirement of signatures in order to then get their question on the ballot. But the reason why I love this process so much and why I detail it in this book, and I teach people step by step how to take your idea to the ballot box. And then the second half of the book is how to defend the ballot initiative process from controlling politicians that want to take away the people's voice. The reason I like it so much is because objectively, Oklahoma is the reddest state in the country. And I qualify it by this measure. In 2016 and 2020, we're the only state for every single county to have voted red. Yet at the same time, since 2016, we've passed some of the most liberal laws through the citizen-led ballot initiative. It all kind of started in 2016 when the state legislature sent a question to the people asking them if they think that public dollars should be allowed to be used on funding religious activities and purposes, one of those in which was the Ten Commandments at the state capitol. And it went to the vote of the people, and they voted it down overwhelmingly. 57% of Oklahomans in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt said, no, we do not want tax dollars funding religious activities and purposes. And that really shocked a lot of legislators in Oklahoma. And then in 2018, a group of purely led citizen grassroots organizations came together and decided that they were going to try to pass medical marijuana. And they wrote the law, and it was one of the most liberal medical marijuana laws in the country. And they gathered enough signatures easily, way more than they needed. And it went on to the ballot in 2018, a state question 788, passed overwhelmingly. So now all of a sudden, this red state of Oklahoma has one of the most liberal medical marijuana laws. And then in 2018, they did the same thing for criminal justice reform and Medicaid expansion, something that the Oklahoma legislature ignored for 11 years. And the people of Oklahoma passed Medicaid expansion. And now as a result, more than 250,000 Oklahomans have health insurance who otherwise would not. And so that's when the Oklahoma legislature, the GOP-controlled legislature, started to say, we need to rein this in. We don't want people telling us what to do. It's our job to tell the people what to do. Because, you know, the party of personal freedoms and limited government seems to be the party of power, control, and intrusion. And so this is like antithetical to everything that they're trying to push and force onto the people, whether it be Christian nationalism, you know, or the most extreme abortion ban in America. And so then in 2022, of course, when the Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe v. Wade and said this is a state's issue, then you saw all these states starting to use the power of the ballot initiative to restore abortion access. And it, for example, went to Ohio, a red state, and they overwhelmingly voted, yes, we want to codify our bodily autonomy. And so preemptively, states like Oklahoma, Florida, and Louisiana, Mississippi, they have started to dismantle that ballot initiative process in anticipation that the people are going to put that question of bodily autonomy, of abortion access, onto the ballot. And they've seen the polls. They know exactly that a 15-week abortion, we could call it ban, is popular. Right now, it's zero in Oklahoma. There's no exception for rape or incest. And so the polls show that 15-week is very popular. It would pass today, but it won't pass if the people can't get it on the ballot. Right. And that's exactly why I wrote this book, because without that knowledge and without having to pay expensive consultants to teach you step-by-step how to do it, you could just buy this $16, this $20 book, and it will teach you how to do it. And so—
Love it.
Yeah. And it's not just abortion access too. We're looking at, of course, right now in the works, raising minimum wage from $7.25. this bill that, I mean, this state question that they just gathered 155,000 signatures, only needed 90, but Oklahomans, and these are valid signatures. This would raise the minimum wage immediately to $9, and then by 2030, up to $15, and then it would be indexed to the federal rate of inflation, so we won't have to continue going back decades from now and then raising minimum wages. So give people a livable wage. And so open primaries, ending gerrymandering, campaign finance reform, all of those are possible through a citizen-led ballot initiative that would never be addressed by Oklahoma state legislature.
Yeah, I always think they're so interesting, just like across the board. Like, A, Mississippi, good example of like a no ballot, you know, initiative situation at all. And then, you know, trying to keep that from coming back and with all of the little asterisks of things. But also just like when you put actual issues, like just the issue in front of voters, how much it actually changes, how they react to it. Florida is like another good example of that, you know, like it becomes less partisan. It's like, this is the issue. It's yes or no, not like, is this Democrat or Republican? Like, yes, if you like really spend the time and think about like who's putting it on the ballot and whatnot, sure, you could like make arguments for that. But I think so much of the time it's really like, no, okay, let's ask the question about the issue. Like, let's not think about the party. So it changes how people perceive politics and also how they actually can like get involved. So I think that's super, super awesome that you put this into a guide for the people that are like, I need this guide. Where did they get this guide?
Amazon would be the best place to get it. I mean, they've got it down. It would be to you within 2 days. You can just look up the Citizen's Guide to Political Change, or you can just look up my name, Mickey, M-I-C-K-E-Y, Dollins, D-O-L-L-E-N-S, and it'll pop up. It's only been out for a week. So if you do, I mean, I've sold a lot of copies. It reached number one on the new release list last week. If you do buy a copy, please consider leaving a review, leave an honest review. You never know, your opinion could encourage someone else to buy the book that could ultimately impact an entire state. So yeah, I appreciate that. Another, and just to piggyback off of what you said about how ballot initiatives are, they're binary. They're yes or no. They don't have an R or D or an I or an L in front of their name. And they get people excited. So like Oklahoma, in my opinion, isn't nearly as divided as the politicians inside the state capitol would want you to believe. Because when you take the party affiliation away from the idea and you just show someone like an idea, 9 times out of 10, they really like Democrat ideas, but they have been so conditioned to believe that the Democrat word is a bad word, especially like in a super red state like Oklahoma. And so that's a really good thing to say. You know, there's more that brings us together than what those divisive politicians who love to fan the cultural war flames in the Capitol. Another great thing about the ballot initiative process is it requires by law that volunteers go out and collect signatures in person. Now, I mentioned that they collected 155 signatures from Oklahoma voters to get the ballot initiative, to get the state minimum wage on the election. That's 155,000 conversations that are happening in person, breaking down that digital divide that so often polarizes us. No, in no other circumstance would people be having a face-to-face conversation with strangers about policy issues. And while that particular one where they're signing their name is about raising the minimum wage, I promise you, like in my experience gathering signatures and other people, there are continued conversations that evolve from just that. People get excited. They're like, oh, so if I'm a voter, yes. If I add my name, then we can have the opportunity to vote on this question. Yeah, everyone in the entire state can have the opportunity to vote on this question. And then you can actually see the gears turning and they're like, well, then could we do it for this issue? Could we do it for this issue? And even if it's issues you don't agree with, you're like, yeah, as long as it doesn't violate our Constitution, which there's checks and balances for that. Each one of these state questions has to go through the state Supreme Court. I said, yeah, if you have an idea and you're passionate about it, you can actually put your ideas to action. You can put, a lot of people love to get out there and just complain. And I think that Michelle Obama had a great message at the DNC and she said, it's time to do something. Don't just complain, do something. And this is the perfect way for people to channel that energy. And so I get pumped up on grassroots democracy and empowering people, especially my constituents, with their constitutional right to petition the government. And so many people don't know that that power exists. But once they do, and then they figure out like how to leverage it, it's really instills a feeling of hope. And then that's how people, especially young people, get back engaged. I remember we actually sent, and I'll shut up here, one more story. In 2018, because medical marijuana was on the ballot, we had a lot of more Democrat, left-leaning people turn out to vote. And we sent a Democrat to Congress for the first time in decades. It was Kendra Horn in Oklahoma City's 5th Congressional District. Now, in 2020, the majority gerrymandered the lines to make it to where it was much more difficult for a Democrat to win that seat. But it was a testament to show that people turn out to vote on things that they're passionate about. And that has an effect on the candidates down ballot.
For sure. Well, yeah. You talk about, of course, you know, going and collecting signatures. And that is something that honestly, I think like burns a lot of calories. And I'm curious, therefore, like what's like the snack choice? Like what snacks, what drinks are you bringing on the road, aka walking around? What are the must-haves?
Oh yeah, this is my favorite topic of all time, because secretly, I would love to own a little mom and pop gas station where I'm just surrounded by snacks and, you know, like the 3-day-old pizza slices and the chicken crisps and the hot dogs and corn dogs. You can tell I'm really passionate about my snacks. And until that day comes, I've actually done the next best thing. I own vending machines. I have several vending machines around Oklahoma City. And
wow. So you really are a snack guy.
I'm a snack guy.
To the extent of what it was, but that's but I snack have, guy central.
I do have like a preference for snacks. So like, it depends on like where your snack machine is at too. Like one is an electrician training hall. They love their energy drinks. They stay wired, beef jerky, chips, peanut M&Ms are extremely popular. But for me personally, I'm a big chip guy. I can live off of chips. I think anyone can live off of chips. I mean, if you think about it, just the chip in its bag is a snack. You take the chips out, you put it on a plate, you put cheese on top. It's an appetizer, nachos. And let's face it, what is a taco? Nothing but a giant chip folded over with meat and vegetables in it. So chips are my go-to. Sun chips and Takis.
Wow.
What about
you? The vending machine owner, fun fact, is incredible. I didn't know the extent of how much of a snacker you were. So you have to like customize vending machines depending on where they are. You have to like read the people. You have to know. It's like politics.
Kind of, right? Customer first. You know, it depends like what part of the district you're in is going to be more popular snacks in other places. And so like I taught at U.S. Grant High School back before I was elected. I was a freshman English teacher. And we had two large vending machines. And every single slot was just Takis. That was it. And those things sold out once a week. We went through so many Takis. So yeah, it just depends on like where you're at and, you know, that part of the city and what they enjoy. But, you know, everyone, I haven't met one person yet who's been anti-chip. Have you?
You know, it's
if they are, then red flags, like red flags.
For sure.
And I distance myself. You know, I don't know who can be anti-chip.
Exactly.
You got to do what you got to do.
There's so many options for everyone, you know.
And then like, you add the dips and it's just, you know.
Oh, the dips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make me That's excited fair. For football season too. All the snacks come out.
I love football season. Boy. I actually played in college and so I've got to get back down to Dallas and watch some games. But yeah, tailgates. I mean, what's a tailgate without a bag of chips or so?
Exactly. Where did you play?
I earned a football scholarship to Southern Methodist University in Dallas.
Nice.
Okay, we do and have a your football team.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, who's your team?
You know, I always root for the Mustangs. They just had a great game against Nevada. So I always tune into them. But like in Oklahoma, our professional football team might as well be the OU Sooners. They're a lot of fun to watch. They just got into the SEC. So we're in the top conference in the country. Really excited there. I like OSU too. My dad went to OSU. My mom went to OU. I kind of grew up wanting to play college football. So I never took a side. I'd be happy whoever gave me a scholarship. Yeah. Ended up down in Dallas. But yeah. And then when it comes to NFL, like I just love to see a competitive game. And I'm not this type. I would never wear like another grown man's jersey or anything like that. But so like when it comes to like rooting for a team, I don't really get too obsessed with teams. I don't play any like fantasy football or anything, but I do like to watch high level competition, and NFL has just been delivering on that.
Who are your eyes on this season?
Oh, good question. So I'm just kind of like, I grew up as a Chiefs fan when I was a little kid, but they've become so dominant. And it's just like, they're like now the NFL villain because they're so good. Now I'm going, I've always loved to root for the underdog. So now I'm all in on Cowboys this year, you know, year after year, it's been the upset,
Dallas ties.
Yep. Well, yeah. And then de facto Dallas fan from living there for 5 years during college, but I've got to root for the Cowboys because every year they just come so close and then something happens. And there's a ton of OU players that are on the Cowboys team now. So it's pretty fun. I'm just so ready for football season, if you can't tell. Actually going
to a Niners fan, we'll have to be beefing this season about Cowboys Niners. But there you go. Chiefs. We got trauma there too.
One of the 49ers tight ends is from Norman, long blonde hair. I forgot his name though. Yeah, but they're a good team. They should be doing pretty well this year.
Yeah.
We love to see
amazing.
It.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been amazing. We love to talk about ballot initiatives, and I feel like we have the person to do it with. So thank you so much. Is there anything else that we can plug before people go, like where they could find you or where they can stay in touch?
Yeah, well, there was one other thing I wanted to plug. And one of the questions I noticed that we had was, who's your latest Instagram follow? And I was at NCSL not too long ago, and I came across a booth called Vote Mama. And I got to talking to the CEO, Luba, and some of the people who work there, like Sarah, and they presented some really common sense ideas, like letting people who are running for office use campaign funds for childcare. Childcare is so expensive. I've got a 4 and a 6-year-old. My 6-year-old's in first grade now. The daughter's still in pre-K and I basically like a daycare with curriculum. It's so pricey. If you're a single mom, single dad wanting to run for office, that takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of energy. And for many people, it's cost prohibitive. And so modernizing campaign finance law would be a really good idea. They also do a lot of other things with childcare that makes a lot of sense. So be sure to check out Vote Mama Lobby and check them out. They've got some really good things going across the nation. And yeah, other than that, I just would say if anyone wants to connect with me, follow me on Instagram at Mickey Dollins, MickeyDollens, also on Twitter. And then of course, I've got my representative page on Facebook. But yeah, it's awesome what you all are doing. You're getting young people engaged. And I love the questions that aren't necessarily affiliated with politics. You know, I could talk all day with you about vending machines and snacks. So I think the platform you have is really cool. And I'm going to do all I can to promote it as well.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.